Donald Trump expect of the RNC in the coming months?
Well, I was at the RNC's spring meeting in Houston on Friday afternoon when Laura Trump was officially named co-chair.
His daughter-in-law.
Already, they are viewing her as instrumental to their fundraising abilities, right? That Trump name, they're going to ride or die off of that Trump name here in the year of 2024. That calculation has been made. They've also put that onus on the Senate candidates in these key states as well. And so when you are looking at the operation, today is literally day one of the RNC merging with the Trump campaign. Chris LaCivita, who is one of the two campaign co-managers for Donald Trump, is coming in to the chief operating officer role. And I have confirmed that they just brought on a number two to him as well, who previously served in a COO capacity to help with the financing of the RNC, because there is a lot of entanglement here for that operation right now at we're talking 7.5 months left.
Former advisors are sounding the alarm that Trump praises despots in private and on the campaign trail. Trump's former advisors say he most consistently lavished praise on Russian President Vladimir Putin. John Bolton recalled a comment from Trump during the 2018 NATO summit. Following sometimes tense encounters with NATO leaders, Trump said his meeting with Putin, the leader of America's great power adversary, quote, maybe the easiest of them all, who would think? He says to the press as he goes out to the helicopter, I think the easiest meeting might be with Vladimir Putin. Who would ever think that, recalled Bolton? There's an answer to that question. Only one person, you. You were the only person who would think that. The shrinks can make of that what they will, but I think it was, I'm a big guy, they're big guys, I wish I could act like they do. We have all the pieces now, Charlie Sykes, and I guess at some point this stops being a Trump story and it starts being a Biden and an us story.
Well, this will never not be surreal. I think this is the main point. And it's not just that Donald Trump has an obvious fetish for strongmen. It's that last line that he wishes he could be more like them. And so I think you have to ask, when he looks at them with such admiration, what does that tell you about what he wants to do when he becomes the big tough guy again? I mean, Viktor Orban's record, as you point out, is not non-controversial. He's attacked the independent judicial system. He's attacked the courts. He's attacked the media. He has criminalized political behavior. He has authorized, the cruel treatment of refugees. He traffics in racist white nationalist rhetoric. He has flirted with anti-Semitism way more than that. And yet Donald Trump looks at him and he says, he's the boss. He's the guy that I admire so much. So I think this is moment, and this is kind of a challenge, because this is not Trump derangement syndrome. This is out of the mouth of Donald Trump on a regular and consistent basis. These are the reports that we're getting from the people who work the most closely with him, that Donald Trump, far from being the American patriot, far from being, the conservative protector of American values, looks at the world's thugs and thinks, I wish I could be more like them. I admire them so much. There's really no precedent in American history for something like this.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Monday, 11 March, year of our Lord, 2024. Just had to have some of the afternoon meltdowns on MSNBC. Charlie Sykes, there, the Bulwark, wrote a big piece about us yesterday. I put up on Getter so everybody can share it, about how this show that we're mainlining the lies and misinformation that the MAGA base has to live off of, something like that. But you see today that they're sitting there, and of course, all these. Oh, Trump's an authoritarian. Trump wants to do this. Last time I looked, President Trump was against any surveillance. President Trump has been adamant against the FBI, against DOJ, used for political reasons, through his actions. Look what's happening here. Perfect example, bringing Eli Crane. Congressman Eli Crane also a former Navy SEAL with the SEAL teams, and a combat veteran. Congressman, we had a very good discussion today, this morning, with Gunny Borelli, Arizona State Senator, now former Gunny Sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, and yourself, two vets. And we talked about a young man that's in Fort Jackson, I think, in a training command. And because of all this stuff they said he did, we said it looks like a systematic problem in the command. As soon as we're off the show, they discharge him from the Army. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me back on to give you guys an update. As soon as I got off your show, it wasn't more than maybe 45 minutes later, I got a call from Private Marinon to let me know that he was informed of the fact that he would be getting separated from the Army. So apparently you have some folks in the Army that are monitoring the war room.
So that's about as in your face as you can get, right? I mean, this gets back to the command. Somebody's there trying to send a signal to the war room posse that you're not all that. I'm incorrect in that assessment?
Well, you're right, Steve, and it's actually a lot bigger than that because, like I discussed on your program, this is so much bigger than Private Marinon. You know, I've had so many conversations up here with, generals and admirals, whether it was in an oversight capacity, you know, whether it was in a funding capacity, appropriations, or, you know, even in classified settings. And many, many times myself and other, you know, conservative members up here in the Republican Party will broach the subject with them about how concerned we are, you know, about what's happening to our military, the wokeness within our military, the drag shows, the diversity, equity, inclusion focus, how we've gotten away from preparedness and lethality, which is what the military is supposed to be about. And Steve, I can tell you right now, every single one of those flag officers and high-ranking officers has looked myself and several other members of Congress in the face and just told us, I don't know what you're talking about. And some of them will even say, you know, I think diversity, you know, is our strength. And it's almost like almost all of them that I've run into at that level, Steve, are 100% drinking the Kool-Aid. And this just goes to show that anybody that doesn't drink that Kool-Aid, like Private Marinon refused to do, this is the treatment that they get.
People should remember Private Marinon. This started because he had on his phone a picture of President Trump, and somebody said that's racist, and it started from there. This is not drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a cult, isn't it? I mean, it's a cult. Diversity is our strength. The everything, you go all the way down, and this is why recruiting's tanking. This is why it's costing more to get folks in. This is why combat readiness has dropped. Am I wrong on any of that? That this is one of this wokeness is one of the central problems. Also, why the general officers, nobody can fight and win wars anymore.
Well, I think that's the real key, you know, Steve. Outside of it, you know, degrading the ability of our armed forces and, you know, making it to where nobody wants to join anymore that has a patriotic bone in their body. You know, what you and I discussed earlier is what this is going to lead to. And this will lead to us getting our tails whipped by adversarial countries and militaries that do not care about this crap, that are focused on lethality and, you know, just becoming the baddest fighting machines that they can become. And that's why this stuff is so disastrous. I think that's why the military was one of the last institutions in the country that started to see this type of social experimentation. But that's one reason that we wanted to come and highlight the private story. We wanted the American people to hear that this does trickle downstream to the privates and everybody below. And here's the thing, Steve, I might not have mentioned it on your show, but if you've ever hung out with privates in the Army, if you've ever hung out with, you know, your E1s, E2s in the Marine Corps, or, you know, in the Navy, almost the vast majority of the conversations they have when officers and their NCOs are around are inappropriate. You know, a lot of Americans would think that, you know, be appalled by some of the, you know, banter that goes back and forth. But this is the type of stuff that Marinon's being, you know, kicked out of the Army for. This is the type of stuff that happens all day, every day on these on these installations. And these are the types of things that used to be handled with, hey, get your rucksack on. You're going to, you know, you're going to run a couple miles, or you're going to go clean the latrines or the bathrooms. And now you're starting to see, you know, what it's becoming. And unfortunately, it looks like, you know, only certain types of people are being held accountable for, you know, some of this banter, some of these comments that are inappropriate. And it, like I said, it appears that Private Marinon, you know, has fallen victim to having a worldview that doesn't align with our woke Department of Defense.
So the systematic rot of the military is our issue. So what is your recommendation? Where do we go from here? Because obviously this is just the beginning of this journey. I mean, Private Marinon was an example, and I think a good example of how this rot has become part of the way the institution, this is one of the reasons the military, as you said, is dropping. It used to be in esteem. Nothing was higher than the military. That's why I was honored to be a Naval Officer Moza. As people know, West Point grad, Army officer, you're a SEAL. Gunny Borelli's a Marine. People are not just proud of their service, but they'll tell you the best years of their lives were when they were in the service. So how do we, what's your recommendation? People look to you for leadership. What's your recommendation here? What do we do?
Well, you know, Steve, as you know, it's never over until we quit. And, you know, I never go into a fight alone. You know, we're discussing with the team right now, you know, ways ahead, things that we can do. But this isn't going to be one battle. It's like I said, it's so much bigger than the private. We're going to have to continue to fight, you know, for the privates out there and those that can't fight for themselves, those individuals in the military that don't have budgets that, you know, can hire high powered attorneys. We're going to have to continue to fight for them, because that's what a lot of these folks with power trips bank on, is that nobody will stand up for them. And that's not the case. You know, we're going to stand up for the private. That's why I wanted to come back on your show. That's why I'm going to do more media, so that the American public can hear about not only this case, but so they can hear about the rot within our military and what it's become.
Where do folks find you? Congressman Eli Crane, where do people go? Social media, website, all of it.
They can find me at Rep Eli Crane. Thanks again, Steve, for helping us cover this, man. You know, we really appreciate it, and I know the private does as well.
Well, Congressman, you're held in very high esteem by this audience. So we're here to help, and we look forward. We know this is going to be an interesting fight. We got to set things right here. I mean, this is one of the greatest institutions in our country, in our country's history, and it has gone seriously off track. And it's time to set things right.
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of parents and grandparents that, you know, in the posse that listen to this show. We all love this country. Many of us fought for this country. Just, I want you to really think about the advice that you give to the young generations coming up in your family about serving in this type of military, in this type of environment. I'm not telling you to advise your kids or your grandkids not to serve this country, but I'm telling you, this is the type of treatment that you can expect. If you're not willing to shut up, play the game, you know, go along with all this woke diversity, equity, inclusion crap, there's a good chance that you're going to be treated just like the private. So make sure you think long and hard about that. And like you pointed out, Steve, that's one of the biggest reasons that our military is having so much trouble with their recruitment numbers.
I agree. Congressman Crane, we're on it with you in harness, so we'll figure this thing out.
Thank you, brother.
What Eli's talking about, you know, we have so many veterans and parents of I gotta tell you, nephew, one's a Army, was in the Army. I think he made it to sergeant. Another nephew, E1, in the first class petty officer. My kid brother's a Navy pilot. His wife's a Navy nurse. Of course, Mo was an Army captain. Just the whole family. And not very many lifers, but a lot of people that did their 6 to 8 years. And I've always told young people when I give speeches, the best years you could have is in the 20s of going to this. I'd be very hesitant about making that recommendation now. There's something deeply, deeply, deeply wrong with our military right now. And let's go on a journey together to set this thing right, because it's too great an institution, too much interwoven into the fabric of American society and culture. to let it go like this. It's absolutely terrible. Terrible. Short break. Back in a moment in the war room.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
In the past 2 weeks, the number of cases of COVID-19 outside China has increased 13-fold. And the number of affected countries has tripled. There are now more than 118,000 cases in 114 countries. And 4,291 people have lost their lives. Thousands more are fighting for their lives in hospitals. In the days and weeks ahead, we expect to see the number of cases, the number of deaths, and the number of affected countries climb even higher. WHO has been assessing this outbreak around the clock, and we're deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic. Pandemic is not a word to use lightly or carelessly. It's a word that, if misused, can cause unreasonable fear or unjustified acceptance that the fight is over, leading to unnecessary suffering and death. Describing the situation as a pandemic does not change WHO's assessment of the threat posed by the virus. It doesn't change what WHO is doing, and it doesn't change what countries should do. We have never been before seen a pandemic sparked by a coronavirus. This is the first pandemic caused by a coronavirus. And we have never before seen a pandemic that can be controlled at the same time. WHO has been in full response mode since we were notified of the first cases. And we have called every day for countries to take urgent and aggressive action. We have rung the alarm bell loud and clear.
Okay, 4 years ago, this very day, WHO called a pandemic. Media picked up on it. Naomi Wolf. Walk me through your experience in this and then your observations about what then happened.
Yeah, it's amazing. Your producers are awesome because they found the perfect clip, the definitive clip. That's the DNA of the whole 4 years right there. And what I see is a guy launching a product. And there's a whole marketing campaign all set behind him with sound bites and policies and outcomes already predetermined, data, statistics already predetermined, metrics predetermined. And he's, you know, that's the opening act, like the curtain is opening. And one thing I will notice, you know, listening to this again, the second time, 4 years later, not the first time, is that people who have really been in crises and conflict areas and zones where there's a real disaster, catastrophe, no one uses language like that. It, you know, when there's a real emergency, people don't talk about alarm and, you know, sounding the bell of alarm and how much fear you should have, just enough fear, not too much fear, but plenty of fear. People in a real crisis, you know, real leaders in a real crisis try to calm people down and try to simply tell them what they need to do to protect their families. The other thing you really notice is that before this press conference, we're not aware of the WHO as the people above our sovereign nations who were dictating policy to our sovereign nations. We thought we lived in a sovereign nation. So the other thing that really surfaces from this clip is how Ghebreyesus is launching, reminding, insisting, and remember, the person who funds Ghebreyesus, Bill Gates, also invested in the vaccine, benefits from the vaccine, right? It's a two-tier profit machine. But Ghebreyesus is kind of rolling out this relationship to sovereign nations. We're telling countries what to do. Well, that, you know, that was new, or that was being remarketed. Maybe the WHO in the past tried to tell countries what to do, but the idea that the WHO, you know, like the CDC on a lesser level, is like the arbiter of whether we have a pandemic or not, and what we do then, and what the laws are, that was a whole new kind of venture in history. And the fact that they made it fly is kind of testimony to their demonic cleverness and, you know, a blot on everyone who went along with it, you know, a blot on the credulity of all the people, but I don't mean citizens, because I listened to this too. I mean, I knew enough to know what was wrong with it, but our leaders didn't say, who are you? What do you mean? What do you mean alarmed? What's the definition of a pandemic? Like, none of the right questions were asked at that point. It was just like, bam, 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 from Ghebreyesus to Fauci to, at that point, Walensky, you know, lying to that president and then the next president, and crushing everyone in their homes after that, and rolling out draconian measures that we should remember for the rest of our lives. I guess the other thing, when you said, like, where was I? I think you said something like that. I remember vividly, I was in New York. We were in New York, and I think on March 8th, Broadway had closed. And I remember thinking, you know, the Governor Cuomo just announced that all of Broadway was closing, not individual theater owners deciding for themselves if it was too risky or if their insurance policies didn't cover whatever was happening. All of Broadway, the lights on Broadway went out all at once. And I'm enough of a veteran of national symbolism to know that when you turn off all the lights on Broadway, that is a dramatic symbolic gesture that, you know, has highly coordinated. And it's a message. It's a message point. Because Broadway is so emblematic of New York, and New York is so emblematic of, you know, the bright lights of America. And so I remember thinking, you know, closing a whole sector is something that happens in a totalitarian society, not in a free, open market, you know, free market capitalist society. You can't close everyone's business all at once in America. Something's terribly wrong. Let's get out of the city. And we moved that night, you know, to the middle of the woods because we knew something bad was coming.
Today, we're fighting, and we're going to fight even more intensely in the next couple of weeks, the WHO treaty. What did Build Back Better and the Great Reset? I mean, our learning curve. What do you think we've learned about our sovereignty and about some of these public health officials and what we need to do to stand up as free men and free women?
That is a great question. I mean, these last 4 years have really been like the refiner's fire, right? I mean, they've burned away everything that kept us from understanding what our Constitution is and what our sovereignty is and what our, you know, when you say, ask yourself, what is your mission and what is your purpose? You know, what our mission and purpose is. When on March 11th, 2020, I don't think any of us thought that an unelected guy could threaten the sovereignty of the greatest nation on earth. You know, a handful of unelected guys, but certainly not a, you know, random nonprofit. The World Health Organization is literally a random nonprofit, you know, funded largely, as I mentioned, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, also funded by China, by the way. None of us thought America could be destabilized so easily. We thought our institutions were too solid to have our freedom of assembly, which is guaranteed in the First Amendment to our Constitution, suspended by fiat, by the diktats of governors in state after state after state, bypassing the Constitution by using the proxy of public health authorities. I mean, that was a new one. And again, gotta credit these satanic geniuses. It was so clever because public health is one of those labels that kind of brings with, or used to bring with it, kind of a built-in benefit of doubt, you know? But our First Amendment was crushed, our freedom of assembly, our freedom to worship was crushed by these public health authorities. I don't think any of us saw how easily the rights of a great nation, the Constitution of a great nation, could be brought to its knees by this workaround. I think we, you know, sovereignty. I think that the digital ID, the combination of the rollout of digital ID and our all understanding or learning what a social credit score was and how China uses it, which happened all at once, remember, in 2021 when they tried to inflict a vaccine passport on us. And we fought hard against that with the bill that we passed in 33 states. But the combination of people learning about the social credit score, which could dissolve the Constitution in effect digitally, and learning about the World Health Organization treaty, which would suspend, you know, kind of dissolve our nation, add to that the southern border, in which our nation kind of has been dissolved at the southern border through having no border in effect and having and like dissolving the notion of the citizen, because anyone can walk into the United States of America now or be flown in. All of those were kind of multifaceted attacks on our sovereignty. And again, Refiner's Fire made us realize what our sovereignty is. Oh, a sovereign nation has citizens, and the citizens have representatives. A sovereign nation has boundaries, and they can defend sovereign.
I tell you, Naomi, just hang her for 1 second. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with Naomi Wolf, the Refiner's Fire. Make sure you go to jacemedical.com, promo code Bannon. Find out everything you need to know about the Chinese Communist Party having control of our supply chains for your generic medicines and anything that has active pharmaceutical ingredients. Back in a moment in the war room.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it. But you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Naomi, the one thing we did learn how to do is how to fight as a team with the Warren Posse and what you guys did at Daily Clout. We did drive down on Pfizer. We drove down on Moderna. We've got all these reports, all these studies. It's the basis for lots of suits are going on, laws that are trying to be passed, everything. So that one of the good elements, we understood how precious our sovereignty is, both our sovereignty as a nation, our sovereignty as a people overall, American citizens, and our sovereignty as individuals in their own individual health. Did we not?
I think we've become a multi-purpose army, a multi-mission army, and we've learned many ways of fighting, not only the revelations and the Pfizer documents, not only did the Posse bring to its knees this evil global corporation to pre-2016 revenue levels and to, you know, almost no one taking the booster, and many lawsuits indeed, but the Posse has launched now, helped to support this election integrity bill that we drafted with American Voters Alliance. And we've got two new states helping to pass it. Well, a version was passed, a law against ballot harvesting was passed in Alabama. I just found out SB1 passed last week that bans ballot harvesting and limits absentee ballots. And I just heard from North Dakota where they're petitioning to get our election integrity bill in front of the governor and on the ballot there. So, and I'm heading to Michigan. So that's five states now, one defeat and various versions of possible victory in four other states.
That's fantastic. Great. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're married to a soldier. You heard the conversation we had with Eli, which he would have a tough time recommending to his nieces and nephews, his children. I said, my family, I think we'd have a tough time now, too, given what's happening. Your thoughts about what your husband would tell his kin about serving in the military today?
Interesting. Well, he hasn't recommended to anyone that they enlist in this generation of the youngest people who could enlist. So I know that the Army that the last, and no doubt the Navy that the last guest described, doesn't bear any relationship to what Brian O'Shea, my husband, describes in his years of service. And I'm also sad that there's this kind of focus on race as a kind of label, because one of the most beautiful things Brian talks about is how people were told, you know, you're all green. Like, basically, race doesn't exist, gender doesn't exist. You really, you know, you are soldiers now, and, you know, your job is to execute your mission and to be there for your fellow brother or sister in arms. And that's kind of, that transcends race and gender. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing and, like, the best way of America to manifest its highest values. And it sounds like the opposite of that now.
Naomi, how do people get you, how to get your books, your writing, everything that's happening over Daily Clout? You guys are fighting every day.
We are. Thanks to all of you and our friends across the country. Please go to dailyclout.io. You can download the election integrity bill and send it to your representative. Please go, my Substack is called Outspoken, and you can also sign up for the Best of Daily Clout. And very soon in May, Skyhorse Books is publishing the second volume of the Pfizer documents called the Pfizer Papers. You can order that on Amazon. Thank you. And help
Amazing.
Us, please.
Thank you, Nate. Everybody go over there, pile into today. Thanks, Naomi. Thanks, Brian, too. Brian O'Shea. Let's play the cold open. We got Richard Stern. Biden, as a teaser, Biden dropped a $7.3 trillion 2025 budget today. We've got another fight on our hands. We're going to talk about it with Richard Stern over at Heritage. Let's go and play the cold open.
I'm going to get to Megan Casella at the White House. We're learning more about the president's budget for this year, aren't we, Megan?
Hey, Scott, that's right. So the Biden administration is proposing a 2025 budget today that would spend about $7.3 trillion. That's a 5.5% increase from last year's proposed spending levels. In order to have more money to devote to Social Security, to reduce the cost of childcare, and offer more loans to small businesses. On the revenue side, the White House expects to raise roughly $5.5 trillion. That'd be a 9% increase from last year's forecast, due in part to proposals that would hike taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Despite that rise in spending, the White House sees the deficit falling to about $1.8 trillion next year. But as the deficit falls, the cost to service the debt is on the rise. That reflects in part an expectation by the White House that the long-term neutral rate has likely risen. The White House says interest costs will hit $965 billion in 2025, a 21% jump from last year. Those costs will rise from there throughout the decade. Overall, Biden is proposing $1 trillion for discretionary non-defense spending and a stepped up $900 billion in defense spending.
$1 trillion of non-defense spending up in your grill. So forget all the out years. So he's saving $5 trillion. He's raising taxes on the wealthy. That's all a lie. They're not going to, their donors are the wealthiest people in this country. They're not going to do that. That's all optics. But in your face, Richard Stern, is $7.3 trillion of spending, over $2 trillion of discretionary spending when you take the defense budget also. Now they got $1 trillion of non-defense. And they're projecting, Stern, before you and I go through and start sharpening our pencils, they're projecting a $1.8 trillion. Their best shots, a $1.8 trillion coming off what will be over $2 trillion this year. By the time Trump gets settled in the White House, I don't know, it'll be $37, $38 trillion face amount. Richard, you're one of the toughest guys I know in the budget. What's your initial assessment of Joe Biden's?
Well, I think this is exactly the train wreck we would have expected, unfortunately. To your point on that, by the way, they're masking nearly $500 billion in requested new spending just for this year, as if money grew on trees, as if this wasn't going to be stolen from hardworking Americans. Look, this budget is a joke. Unfortunately, the real problem here is what he's doing to the country is not a joke. But to your point, they've got all of this gimmicky crap that they're doing to throw money at their donors, and it's your money. And how are they going to raise it? You're right. They're not going to tax their donors. They're going to tax the American public. They're going to print it at the Fed. They're going to suck the oxygen out of credit markets. They're going to get that money through good old-fashioned inflation, the way that Biden has been doing for nearly 4 years now.
But Richard, you know, on the 22nd, we had the second part of this. Johnson came out with very solemn, this shows you Biden's addicted to, you know, gross overspending, fiscal mismanagement. We got that. But the reason they could put this out is we have not disciplined them enough in the current time. That's why I keep telling people, don't worry about out years. It's the year that you're in. You have to use every ounce of leverage. What lessons do you think you would like to impart to the House of Republicans about he's up in your grill right now because he feels he's got kind of an open runway just to roll?
As you just point out there, it's about conviction. Whenever two people come together in a negotiation like this, the side with the most conviction always wins. So as much as you and I can look at Biden's budget and say, look, this is just more of a scam. This is just more kind of papering over theft from the American middle class. It shows that he and his team, they've got conviction. They're willing to put out a budget that is hundreds of billions of dollars more theft from the American public. And so what have conservatives put up in Congress? What's the bill you were talking about that we're looking at? It's actually got a $29 billion increase in spending. So where is the real conservative brass tacks offering of a cut to spending? The Heritage Foundation puts it out. The Republican Study Committee in Congress puts it out, but formal congressional conservative leadership, to your point, doesn't put out an equal kind of trillions of dollars of cut to the bureaucracy, right? Where is the conservative bill that slashes the EPA, that slashes the FBI? So I think, you know, the lesson we've learned, and we've learned this lesson time and time again, is be bold. Put out a real vision of conservative governance where we starve the beast, we end the regulatory state, we get rid of these bureaucrats who make their living from oppressing Americans and doing it with your money stolen from them. Until conservatives put out a vision that bold, that unified, that much opposed to the kind of just wanton extra spending that Biden puts out, we're not going to win.
Richard, I know you guys are going to do analysis of this and break it all down. Where do people go to get on, to find you on social media, but also go to Heritage and to walk them through your budget analysis and how we get this thing sorted?
Definitely appreciate it. You can find me at Rich A. Stern on Twitter. You can also find my colleague David Ditch on Twitter as well. He and I both have tweets out today breaking through some of the parts of this. Preston Bashirs as well, my team, has done some work on some of the tax parts of this. And if you go to heritage.org, you're going to see our op-eds, other things we put out. And you're right, we're going to go through and break down all the little things that they've gotten here. They've got $300 billion for the IRS to do, quote unquote, enforcement. We all know what that means. It means going after American small businesses, right? They have new taxes here going after Bitcoin and cryptos, things like that. So we're going to go through and find all the hundreds of little things they've done in here that are just abuses of the presidency.
Richard, look forward to seeing it. Have you guys back on if you had a chance to break it all down, because this is an outrage. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, as always.
Look. Richard just said it. The budget that we're going to approve right now on the 22nd, if this takes place, is $29 or $30 billion higher than Nancy Pelosi's. Think about that for a second. Gold today is what, at $2,189, another reaching close to an all-time high? Why is that? People are concerned. Capital markets are concerned. This shows you this. He's planning on a minimum of a $1.8 trillion deficit. I haven't gotten to the tax side, but I guarantee you they've overstated it, even with the $300 million for increased IRS enforcement. Even with that, because remember last time he whiffed on the tax revenue because of the slowing of the economy and fewer financial transactions taking place, fewer capital gains tax. This is why I keep telling you, go to Birch Gold and talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Now's the time you got to do it. Hey, don't take it from me. Look at Biden. They're giving you a roadmap of what's going to happen. And because of the lack of courage, this is not about intelligence. This is not quantum mechanics. And I mean that when I say that. This is fairly straightforward, just arithmetic. But it takes political will. It takes political will and the courage to go in there and say, hey, I don't care if you call me a xenophobe or racist or nativist. I don't care. It's not relevant. What I care is that we've got to stop this out of control fiscal mismanagement. This is radical. This is going to have, and it's not just future generations, the spending. This spending is creating debt slaves out of everybody. The impact of refinancing this debt is now not going to go away. What you're seeing is the product. He wouldn't be able to do this and put forward this budget if McCarthy hadn't given the free ride to have 2 years, no cap on spending and no cap on deficits, and to take it off the policy. Think about it, if we're right now and they were hitting up on the deficit, blowing through on 24. It'd be top of the ticket. Every question asked to Biden would be about this. This is what McCarthy took away. However, we still have plenty of leverage, more than you need, to bring this madness to a halt. And I don't want to hear, oh, you only own control 1/9 of 1/5 of 1/30 of the country. That's all. Somebody tells you that, it's like saying elections are about the future. That's just more verbiage. You got plenty of leverage here. You could force these guys at the table and you could have cuts. We don't have them forced to the table to shut the border down on an invasion. Nothing. Nothing. And not one mention of cutting spending right there. That budget right there is the mentality and the process that is Republic ending. Make sure you go to Birch Gold. Check it out. Talk to the experts. Find out what a hedge is. Learn it. Short break. Back in a moment. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that, because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
I'm proud of one thing. You know, nomenclature is very important. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we started debating, you know, everything populist nationalist war, you know, call it the CCP, not China, right? Because you can drive a wedge between Lao Beijing and the CCP by reminding people this is not the people of China, it's these group of criminals. The other thing we fought for was they used to put these budgets out the last couple of years just talking about the discretionary spending. Oh, it's a $1.2 trillion budget, 1.5. I said, no, it's not. You got to add all the entitlement spending in. It's over $7 trillion. And some of that is not really entitlements. That's the part of it. It's not really entitlements. You can get around that. And I'm not talking about Social Security and Medicare. I'm talking about other payments. But now they admit it, $7.3 trillion with a and we say, oh, Steve, these never pass. They're going to get chopped up. Well, hey, the Nancy Pelosi, this budget they're working on now is $30 billion more than Pelosi's out of control last year of spending. So it's $7 trillion now, $7.3 trillion in spending. And that's without any of these supplementals, these side pocket deals like Ukraine, all this. And they're going to have some. You watch. They're going to have some in Gaza for the Palestinians. You just wait. You just watch. But we know, and I'll get back to the taxes tonight. They're already programming a $2 trillion deficit, folks. They say 1.8. You know it's higher than that just right now. I'm talking about even in the math they've got embedded. I'll work it tonight. So I told you, two back-to-back years, what McCarthy gave them, over $2 trillion each year. This is how you get to a trillion every 100 days. It's not sustainable. And when this crash comes, people are going to be looking for some folks that got a minute. I tell you, this is going to be as bad as it could ever get because the math is simply not sustainable. And now it's right up in your grill. This is what I keep telling you. You know, I don't give you personal financial advice, but now is a time to go to Birch Gold, promo code Bannon, /Bannon, and make sure you go and talk to Philip Patrick and his team. You got to understand the forces driving why gold's at all-time high, why the BRICS nations are buying it, the people with the resources, why are they buying this constantly, okay? So make sure you go check it out, birchgold.com/bank. We've got a great relationship with these guys. They're very good. Get the end of the dollar empire. Start learning about currency. Start learning about macroeconomics. You owe it to yourself. We're here to teach. You guys have been great. You're incredibly sophisticated. You have a better understanding of the budgets. I mean, Coach Tuberville said this the other day, this audience. Alex Eisenstadt, who's as good as it gets when about covering the Republicans and the RNC over Politico, got a tweet out. Huge purge already. 60 staffers at the RNC are going to be forced out, I think, immediately, including 5 senior staffers. So that started. We'll have more details as we get them. It looks like this purge that we've kind of demanded that's got to happen to focus all resources on President Trump. Mike Lindell, that's got to be music to your ears. You fought this for a long time, have you not, sir?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, that is music to my ears. The RNC, wake up. We've been doing what they should have been doing for 3 years, everybody. For 3 years, we've been trying to secure our election platform and the money they spend over there frivolously worrying about things that don't matter, quite frankly. I'm so glad they're cleaning house because that's what they needed, and they need different leadership there. It's too bad they can't get rid of about a third of the 168. But we're going to call them out, Steve, as they start popping their heads up like little pocket gophers as they show that they're really still part of the Uniparty. We're going to call them out. Remember, they voted 168-0 last summer for paper ballots, hand-counted, same-day voting, precinct level. So now when they stick their head up, like, oh, we just had one in Illinois when I was there. He goes, he's sitting there, they're going, yeah, he He's all for staying the status quo. And with the election platforms, we're going, well, didn't you vote 168? Weren't you one of the 168 to zero? You know, we're going to call these people out. And boy, am I glad they're doing it right now. Just get rid of those staffers. Get rid of some of them lawyers over there, too. That's what I'd do, too.
Yeah. Okay, talk about, okay, now, real quickly, Robin Voss, walk me through. The people are so jacked up today. We have in play two speakers of the House, one in Wisconsin, another down in Texas. Give me an update on Voss.
Yeah, I just talked to my team down in Wisconsin. And by the way, the people on the ground in Wisconsin, they are so happy. Even the Democrats don't like this guy. So Voss has 10 days. We turned in 10,800 our signatures today. We only required 6,000 some odd signatures. So Voss has 10 days to challenge the signatures. Then if he responds and says, okay, these aren't good signatures, we have 5 days to respond. Then he has 2 days to file a response. It goes back and forth for about 7 days there. And then the Wisconsin Election Commission has to issue a ruling within 31 days on whether to be a recall or not. Now, they have to give a recall election if we have enough signatures, which we're well over that. And the primary for the election, the recall primary, is April 23rd. Now, if Robin loses that, and by the way, any Republican can run. There is somebody that people really like, but we're not putting it out yet right now for a couple reasons. But then when we put that out, now that person will win there. Then a month later, you have a general recall election with the Democrats. So
yeah,
it's very exciting.
Step by step. You guys done an amazing job. This is in process. President Trump supports this 100%. Mike, we'll talk about Supreme Court tomorrow. I want to hold that. You've got so much going on. Supreme Court on Thursday to file. We'll talk all about that tomorrow. Give me a quick, people want to know, where are my deals? When they see Mike Lindell, they want to hear a deal. So give us a deal.
Well, man, we keep giving the War Room Posse the deals because they helped us and we're here. This is a great day. I even brought up the War Room Posse in my speech I did down in Florida today, everybody. I said, you guys need to be watching. You need to be watching the War Room. Here's your specials. The new percale sheets that came in, all the colors, the two box stores backed off on the deal 2 months ago. So we decided we're going to sell them as an overstock deal, $26.98, regular $90.98, just for the queen size, you guys. This is amazing. King size, $29.98. We have full size. We have twin and twin extra long. They're all even lower price than that. This is a War Room special, promo code War Room. And also, I want to announce, this is the last day, I believe it, the last day, I think it might be a day and a half left of the open box slipper sales, everybody. You guys got them all. There's still some left. I believe they'll be out by tomorrow. Get them. The last day you can get them will be tomorrow. $19.99. Get them while we still have your size. Promo code War Room, 1-800-873-1062. There's all the specials that we, well, by the way, we put those Giza Dream pillows on there, $24.77, $29.77 for the king. These are specials I didn't even know we had. This because we're doing all this for the War Room Posse. The bathrobes are on there. We had a big event today. Everybody got bathrobes. They bought them for the whole event, the bathrobes, but they don't get the prices you guys did, I'll tell you. Supima, 100% Supima USA cotton.
We'll see you tomorrow morning. Mike, fight on. Stick around. We're going to walk through the battle map of the 2024 House. Alex DeGrasse joins us next. Short commercial break in the War Room.
The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Bannon.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.